alchemical imagination. The viewpoint that is emerging from the cutting edge of quantum physics is that, instead of being an epiphenomenon of matter, consciousness is the ontological ground and driving force of the process of reality itself. Max Planck, commenting on what the new physics was revealing to humanity, famously said, "Mind is the matrix of all matter." Consciousness is in some mysterious fashion creating the stuff of the material world. Wheeler goes so far as to say, "In what medium does space-time itself live and move and have its being? Is there any other answer than to say that consciousness brings all of creation into being, as surely as space-time and matter brought conscious life into being? Is all this great world that we see around us a work of imagination?" Keep in mind, these aren't the words of some ungrounded, New Age nutcase, but the words of one of the most brilliant and rigorous physicists of the last century. Like Wheeler conjectures, is this world simply a work, as well as the play, of imagination? Quantum physics is nature's way of telling us something. It is a living revelation that we are all dreaming up, in typical quantum style, to potentially awaken us. Everything depends upon nothing, absolutely nothing, other than if we recognize what is being revealed to us or not. Our imaginative, dreaming, and visionary capacity links directly into the quantum realm, sourcing itself from the underlying quantum field, the quantum plenum of pure infinite potential, thereby interfacing with and becoming an open portal for the divine creative imagination to potentially transform our world. Our creative imagination is truly divine in that it literally affects and forms and shapes the suprasensory blueprint that underlies this seemingly mundane and solid material world of ours. Interestingly, in alchemy, imagination was the key that opened up the door to the discovery of the Philosopher's Stone. To quote Jung, "The concept of imagination is perhaps the most important key to the understanding of the opus. It is the alchemist's version of imagination, what they called true imagination, a creative activity originating out of and expressing the wholeness of the self as distinct from mere fantasy, a repetitive and self-soothing activity of the ego, the fundamental purpose of which is to avoid a relationship with life," that Einstein was referring to when he famously said, "Imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited, whereas imagination embraces the entire world." Alchemists talk about the imaginative faculty of the soul, a term by which they are giving a clear indication of the secret essence of their sacred art. Alchemists, to quote Jung, saw imagination as a concentrated extract of the life forces, both physical and psychic. The imaginative faculty of the soul is not merely a human attribute, but a divine activity of the soul in which the human imagination participates and bears witness. The human imagination is enveloped in, interwoven, and suffused with the divine creative imagination, what Jung calls the world-creating imagination of God, which is the imagination that is imagining/creating the whole universe in this very moment. Jung writes, "If a man puts his hand to the opus, he repeats, as the alchemists say, God's work of creation." In becoming akin to modern-day alchemists, quantum physicists are tapping into our God-given role as co-creators of the universe. There is a self-secret dimension that is staring us in the face that we experience in each and every moment, but we can only see it if we have the eyes to see. In consciously accessing this dimension, we begin to actively interface with the creative powers of the universe, giving us the capability to affect real change in the universe. We are created in the image of our Creator, which is to say we are gifted with creative power. We are creator beings. In becoming an intermediary through which the divine creative power is expressed and made real in time, we are participating in a recreation of the eternal act in the play of creation. Wheeler confesses that in apparent moments of lucidity, "Sometimes I do take 100% seriously the idea that the world is a figment of the imagination, and other time, that the world does exist out there independent of us." He seemed to be fully immersed, both personally and professionally, in the challenging internal process of attempting to integrate the modern-day Copernican revolution of the mind that quantum physics portended. He continues, "I subscribe wholeheartedly to those words of Leibniz. This world may be a phantasm, and existence may be merely a dream. Quantum physics was revealing that the world that Wheeler had spent his whole life trying to understand existed nowhere except in the very mind with which he was trying to understand it. To realize that the world is in our minds is to realize that our minds are in the world, which is to recognize that psyche and matter are not separate from each other. Jung writes that matter is a thin skin around an enormous cosmos of psychical realities, really the illusory fringe around the real experience, which is psychical. The physical world is the surface or skin of an unknown vaster world, which often may seem remote and otherworldly, and yet is a world that we are in and to which we belong. We are indeed such stuff as dreams are made on. To quote Jung, "Far, therefore, from being a material world, this is a psychic world, which allows us to make only indirect and hypothetical inferences about the real nature of matter." We couldn't imagine or dream up a more dreamlike physics than quantum physics if we tried. Quantum physics is the physics of the universal dream in the sense that quantum physics is simultaneously pointing to the dreamlike nature of reality while being an expression of the very dreamlike nature at which it is pointing. In this spirit, Bohr himself said, "Well, yes, one could also say that we are not sitting here drinking tea, but that we're dreaming all that." In the same way, in my role at this very moment as writer, and your role as the listener, we are both collaboratively dreaming these very words that I am writing in this very moment. It is like you, as the listener, are dreaming me up to write these words, and I, as the writer, am dreaming you up to hear them. In this moment that I am writing these words, and in the very moment in the future, from my temporal perspective, that you find yourself listening to my words, the present from your perspective, you and I are mutually sharing an interaction taking place in, outside of, across, beyond, through, and over time. This interchange is made possible through our interconnectedness, which is to say, when you get right down to it, that we are in actuality not separate from each other. The implication: these very words are the manifestation of your own mind appearing, just as if you were within a dream, seemingly outside of yourself. The discovery of the quantum observership-based nature of reality represents the first rupture in the armor of the classical chrysalis that has long encased the human mind and fettered the human spirit, tightly holding it in a state of slumber, dreaming the limiting dream of a deterministic, clockwork cosmos. Irreversibly awakening out of its somnambulistic trance, humanity is going through an evolutionary metamorphosis in which it is unfurling its iridescent wings of creative imagination as it flies into the open-ended space of previously undreamt possibilities, releasing itself into the luminous, imaginal sky of freedom.